Ladies and gentlemen,
pros and schmoes,
you are listening to
The Come Up. Welcome back to the show. On today's episode, we are joined by Walt Whitman, famous American poet and writer. You may remember the line, "Oh, Captain, my Captain." He actually wrote that, so it's a pretty big deal. Anyway, hopefully we can have him and he can teach us how to write things.
It's actually the wrong guy, Ryan. We have Will Whitman, the fitness photographer, on the show today.
Sorry, I've been grossly mistaken. I was given false information here.
You're given no such thing. Will's going to be on the show. Many of you are going to recognize him and his work. He's made a name for himself very quickly in the industry, and everybody loves what he's doing.
Oh, Will Whitman, yeah. the one, the photographer guy with long hair and wears combat boots.
That guy, yeah. Yes. Yep, him.
He's awesome.
So, the Arnold, speaking of the Arnold, coming up. Don't forget, guys, if you're going to be at the Arnold Saturday from 9 to 11, we're having the Advices Radio Network meet up. So, and everybody's going to be there.
And the Bodybuilding Nerds meet up, too. It's conjoined.
Yeah, VJ's part of it. Yeah, so everybody will be there 9 to 11, conference room at the Hyatt that Scott hasn't released yet. But once he has the info, everybody's going to know. So make sure you get there, a live podcast. So bring questions, be ready to meet everybody. It's going to be fun.
And don't forget to use our code ADVICES at TrueNutrition.com for all of your protein needs. And you can even get proats there. They're pretty damn good. So code ADVICES.
Don't you have, Candy McDonald's is on vacation this week. She left for the Arnold early. So we have a schmo corner instead of a bodybuilding misconnection. Don't you have one of those?
I do have one of those, right. But so is Candy in Columbus, like, trying to flag down some dick early or what?
She doesn't need help with that.
I bet she's so moist.
Okay, go ahead with your schmo corner.
Okay, so I got a message here the other day. So if you're out there listening to this show, this will probably be awkward for you, my friend. It starts out, well, this is from a man to me. Starts out, "You are awesome and fantastic, man." I'm like, okay, this is cool. Then he goes, "You are my Hercules," which is an eye-opener for me to pay attention. And by the way, his grammar's like first grade bullshit. So bear with me. "I pay attention totally. You make the rest of me hard. You are a special edition of gorgeousness that has a great body physique like no other. Wow. Pure gorgeousness and ready for me to sample for my pleasures. Totally agreed that you are amazing to see fully in view of awesomeness in action. Unbelievable effects. Wow. You are a motion picture." And then he says, "You are like a delicious pastry that I desire to eat and savory. How good it tastes to me and remember how delicious it was while eating it. Can I pour gravy all over your body and lick and eat the gravy off of you and feast on your gravy insides?" Then he sends me pictures of his heavily overweight body that looks, it's a picture of his tits and it looks like a woman's tit. "I am hot and horny for you, although I think you are yummy-licious good for me. Wow, pure stunning and irresistibly handsome, charming Hercules of awesome proportion and which measurement to me, which I am mesmerized by your appearances, unbelievable, breathtaking." And there's about 100 more messages. Oh, I gotta read this one. "I have never been with a man and I want you to fuck me passionately, which you will be the first and only to enter my tight virgin asshole." And there's more, and I never responded. So now I know how you chicks feel when dudes are sending you dick pics. But, oh, he also says, "I want to pass out from your overwhelming thrust and throbbing from your dick pleasures." Wow. And he wants to eat me like extra butter sauce. So I'm going to have to gratefully decline your offer, my friend. But you sure know how to turn a man on. Fuck.
What? The actual fuck.
Yeah. Anyway, that was our schmo corner. It's pretty graphic.
Pretty ridiculous. If you're out there, whoever you are, back the fuck up.
Go see a doctor. Maybe Get a hooker, beat your meat. We gave you that advice last week.
It's always
beat your meat.
It always comes down to that. Beat your meat.
Beat your meat.
Welcome back to the Come Up. We are here in studio with talented photographer Will Whitman. Will, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'd like to thank you all for having me on today. Nothing like seeing some people try to pursue their dreams and doing it the right way.
Hey, same to you, man. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So, Ryan and I were talking about how we came across you. Like, how did we figure out who this guy, Will Whitman, is? And I think I started following you on Instagram a couple years ago. And I ran into you at Junior Nationals in Chicago. And I walked up to you and I was like, are you Will Whitman? And you were like, yeah, and you're Haley Delph. And I was like, damn, this guy is cool.
Right. It's always pretty funny. That's kind of how most of my interactions happen. It's a rarity sometimes, just because I stay pretty anonymous online and whatnot with what I actually look like and all that nonsense. But yeah, no, I was up there supporting Alyssa Kiesling, or as most on here will know her as the Classical Queen. That's essentially my little sister. So it was really nice to see her get kind of some of the recognition she's deserved for a while.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Classical Queen myself. Yeah. And I took a picture with her when she stepped off stage in 2017 and didn't get that pro card. We did like a most muscular, and then last year when she won it, we took another one like in the exact same spot doing a most muscular.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. And she's actually helping me with she made me a posing routine for the Arnold Amateur, and just hooked me up, you know. And so like I'm not doing check-ins with her on the routine, but I'm kind of taking some ideas from it, you know. So yeah, Alyssa's she's a cool chick.
My favorite part about that was Ryan was sitting in the audience next to Sign Guy.
Oh yeah.
You just hear out of nowhere, Alyssa Kiesling is the truth.
The fucking truth.
We've all become pretty good friends with him, actually. He's a beer distiller.
Yeah, Brady, right?
Yeah, Brady.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
No, he's a great guy. He was in prep, actually. She helped him out as well.
That's cool.
He competed, I think it was just the year, so that would have been 2017. He would have competed last year then.
Cool. Yeah, I like it, man. Bodybuilding's awesome. Like, people from all different walks of life, you know, and it's cool when like-minded people just get together and help each other out. You know, like, you're a photographer. I'm an amateur competitor. Haley's a pro. Brady was just a fan in the crowd at the time, you know, like,
right.
It's awesome. Now,
especially with the stigma around it, it's nice to see that kind of, you know, disappear. When you actually get in the industry that, you know, from the outside is very superficially selfish and, you know, the whole, you know, lone wolf bullshit. So it's nice to actually see people that get together. And, you know, become friends, you know, longer lasting, and, you know, friends outside of actually just competing in the bodybuilding world, people that actually care about what's going on in each other's lives and whatnot.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's get into a little bit about you now. So let's talk about how you got into photography in general and then talk about how you got involved in the bodybuilding scene too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, bodybuilding actually came long before I ever touched camera. For my love of bodybuilding, basically what happened is, Cliff Notes, I grew up loving professional wrestling. I think that's pretty common around my age group. I grew up on The Rock, and as a young kid, you don't understand genetics or what your race is yet.
Right.
Well, I grew up thinking I'm going to look like him, and then I realized that I do not have the genetics to be a 6'4" Samoan.
You weren't born with a tribal tattoo?
You're right. I've got, you know, the genetics to be a 5'9" Native American. So yeah, that didn't work out too well. But as I got a little older, I realized, you know, about genetics, and then I realized what, you know, helped him, you know, become what he was. And I grew a very large, scientific interest in PEDs, and started to learn about them from, you know, 12, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, from there, I was in college at 19, and my brother was actually killed by a drunk driver. And from there, I dropped out of school to move home with my mother. And I needed something to give me structure because I was playing college baseball at the time. So dropping out, I had no more structure in my life. I was just working a job. And that's when I met Matt Jansen, actually, in a quick pass-by meeting at Lexington Athletic Club. And talked to him, and he was just really nice. And I was like, well, I like, you know, what he's doing. Like, I think I'm going to try that. And so I basically just started going with it, you know. I started working, and after about a year and a half, I decided to step on stage. Nothing impressive. I was just a young kid that had put on some muscle and thought he had what it took to compete, and then, you know, got a level check real quick. I still love it. I still do it day to day. If I'll ever compete again, yeah, who knows, maybe. I'm taking it more serious now than I have in my life, so that's nice. But from there, I just had this massive interest in it. And when I was competing at my show, there's another photographer, and he's one of the very few photographers that I'm personal friends with. His name's Ryan Nixon. He goes by Ryan Loco. And he shot Dallas, and he's Flex's personal photographer. And he took a shot of me backstage at weigh-ins the day before show. And there was just something about it. It was black and white. And there was just something about it that was really neat to me. You know, it froze stuff in time. And so about a year went by, and I was on a family vacation. And I wanted to get a camera so we could have nicer pictures of my grandparents than a cell phone. And I took a few pictures, and I was like, oh, this is actually, you know, real fun. And a few people saw it and were like, dude, you're pretty good at that. And they knew I was in the bodybuilding industry. And they asked about me coming and taking pictures. And honestly, it's about as unstorybook of a story as it gets. Bought a camera to take pictures of the grandparents. Few people knew me. Just evolved from there. I got my first camera in the end of 2015.
So you're still pretty fresh at it.
Yeah.
Compared to all the other photographers, you know, in the industry that have been doing it for 2-3 decades.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. I got my first camera at the end. It was September of 2015. And then I shot one show that year. I shot 4 shows the next year. And then 2017 was just like, whoa. A lot of people saw my stuff from Nationals 2016, where I shot a good buddy of mine, 212 pro Derek Oslin. And then a young lady that was competing in figure that no longer competes anymore, but I shoot her wedding this year, Rachel Fechner.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And, so people started seeing those photos. And we're just like, oh, and they had also seen the photo shoot with Dallas and Matt. So that kind of got, you know, a little bit of stuff going. But in reality, I went all the way until last February. I was at 1,900 followers. And then I shot William Bonack. He reached out to me at the Arnold. And I shot his stage work at the Arnold. So since then, yeah, I've grown, you know, going on 19,000 followers in, you know, 11 months. And so,
right. Yeah. That's that you say that's not much of a storybook, you know, story, but I think that's pretty awesome, man. And
I'm the shitty rom-com.
Yeah, that's great.
It's hard not to notice quality though. I remember when I started following, you know, I was like, how does this guy not have more followers? Because your work is just so it's not raw from like your editing perspective, but it's right. you get the emotions that you don't always see. Like, this is not always pretty what we do, and right. And you capture that, and that's what makes it beautiful.
Yeah, and I think I chalk that up to the fact that, unlike most photographers in the industry, this has been, you know, a decade plus interest for me, mm-hmm. but beyond just taking photos, like, this isn't a, you know, this isn't a financial avenue for me. This, you know, it is what I do for a living, but this is kind of soul expression, for lack of a less cliche expression. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just me doing what I genuinely enjoy. And I chalk 100% of my style up to the fact that I competed before. And I always try to explain to my clients, when they ask me what it is or what makes me shoot the way I do, is you're going to go to these shows and you're going to compete and you're going to get on stage and you're going to be overwhelmed to the point where you don't remember a thing. And you're going to get off stage, you're going to be overwhelmed with, you know, sadness, happiness, anger, whatever. And then your family is going to give you their opinions. Then you're going to, your significant other is going to give you their opinions. Then you're going to check your cell phone. Social media is going to give you their opinions. So by the time you actually sit down and by yourself, you're going to have forgotten the emotion you felt on stage, but you're never going to forget the physique because you have thousands of check-in photos. There's NPC News online. Everyone and their mother has a million photos online already. But you will have forgotten those, you know, little intricate emotions that you felt while you were up there. And that's what I try to capture. You know, it's no different than, you know, if you're having a wedding, you want the picture of the groom crying when he first sees his wife.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. You kind of just talked about it, but how do you think your experience in bodybuilding beforehand kind of translates or benefits you as a photographer? You know what I mean? Like, because right. Most of the photographers I know, like, shit, they don't even touch a weight. They've never touched a weight. You know what right. I mean? So.
Well, I think number one is I remember how happy it made me. So I, in that moment, I'm not actually sitting there thinking about taking a photo. I'm thinking about making you smile. I'm not thinking about giving you the perfect, you know, vascular, grainy, most muscular shot. I'm thinking of getting the shot of you smiling when you're walking off stage. On top of that, I think the biggest thing that it got me was timing, because one thing that I've always been approached about by people that watch me shoot is I don't just hold down my shutter. When you book me for a stage package, you usually will get 6 photos, final edited photos. I probably only took 7 or 8 of you. I just know they're going to turn out right because I've developed that timing from competing. So I know what poses you're going to transition into. I know what poses you're going to lock into. And when you book with me, I'm very specific on who I work with. So I believe in you to the point where I've already researched your presentation and your physique. So I know how you pose. I know how you look. I know your best shots, your worst shots. I know what angle I need to have of you, what angle I don't need to have of you. And I also know your personality and what light you want to be drawn in. So I think that would be the biggest thing, is it gave me timing and it gave me the understanding of the emotion you all feel.
Man, that is fucking awesome. That is awesome.
It's like that third piece of coaching. It's like you have your coach that does your prep, you have your posing coach, and then you right. have the photographer that knows exactly what they need to get.
Well, that's one thing I actually do on the side that I never really talk about, just because I have no desire to turn it into a business, is I actually work with people on posing. Just because as a competitor, but also a photographer, I understand the artistic side that you want to bring to it. But I also understand, simply put, I've been to more shows than any competitor you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. Because it's what I do for a living. You know, you got to think, I'm not up there competing. So I'm at all of these shows. And, you know, for example, one of my favorites was, I was working with a good friend of ours, Brittany Pienta. She turned pro in figure at Nationals this year. In 2018. And also probably my biggest triumph was working with Melissa Bumstead. You know, she was having so many issues getting the placing she deserved because she kept shrugging her shoulders. Mm-hmm. She would flare to roll them forward, which then in turn shrugs them up, which flattens out your lats. And we were explaining, you know, drop your shoulders. Like, even if you have to start the pose with your shoulders already shrugged so you can consciously drop them, do that, whatever you got to do. And she did that, and she came back and won Tampa the next week. Mm-hmm.
Those photos you took of Melissa are awesome too. You know, you paint her in a good light.
I appreciate that. She's definitely, I've got a few good ones of her breaking out in tears at Tampa that I'll have in my coffee book when I get around to publishing.
Cool. That's awesome. Heck yeah. I just thought of something real quick. You mentioned your friend Ryan, who kind of maybe inspired you or helped you out to get started, yeah. and how he captured you in the black and white. And you know how it made time stand still for you.
Right.
That's one of the main things that drew me to your work is the black and white pictures, or like the blue and gray hue that you use, you know, more the artistic. So how did he have an effect on you? Did you kind of take that idea from the work you saw him make?
Actually, no, that came from, I've always had this very big belief that, you know, and it's funny, I promise it sounds completely unrelated, but I'm going to tie it to it. When I go to a restaurant, my favorite thing to eat is a burger, and I judge how good a restaurant is and how good their cook is by how good he can make a simple burger.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like the drip coffee at a coffee shop.
Yeah, exactly. If I can take away all color and still grab your attention, that means I didn't have to use any gimmick. I've always said, if you take a picture of someone in color, you're shooting their clothing. If you take a picture of someone in black and white, you're shooting them.
Yep.
So it's always been one of those things where I genuinely believe the true showing of skill is being able to strip away the gimmick of pretty colors and being able to actually paint a picture in black and white. And from there, I never really noticed it was a thing until I was at Nationals 2017, I believe it was. And Breon Ansley came up to me in the lobby when I was with Alyssa. And he said, "You're that black and white guy, aren't you?" Well, I guess I am now.
Yep.
And it just kind of happened from there. I realized, because for a long time, people didn't like that. And I think the only reason... I could be wrong here. I'm going to give you some pseudo-psychology. The only reason I think people didn't like that is because what I was doing was so different.
Yep.
It wasn't the scream in the camera and give me a most muscular. It wasn't, you know, ramping the clarity and contrast all the way up on a photo so you look gritty and grainy. It was making you look like a piece of art on stage.
Yep, absolutely. You catch the art and the realness.
Right. And that's why, honestly, like, that's why I lost my mind when they introduced Classic Physique. I was ecstatic about it because as someone who grew up around, my father did bodybuilding in college. And so I grew up on that era. You know, his obsession with Frank Zane and people like that. So I grew up around people that were genuinely artistic. You know, it was an honor for me to get to work with Hunter and Lee Labrada this year's Nationals, because Lee is just, holy shit, an inspiration to me.
Right.
And it's funny when you see him in person and it's like, really, you're the guy. Like you just open up, and he's such a character that it's almost impossible to believe that he was as great as he was and still is. Because he's just that laid back. He's just the Cuban, you know, the Cuban poppy, you know.
That actually leads us into our next question. So you spend a ton of time backstage or at shows with competitors and people that are watching the competitors. Do you have any stories that you can share with us? Like maybe any crazy stories that stick out to you, or, you know, really, really cool ones that you want to share with the audience?
Funny enough, actually, one of my favorite stories still to this day that I could live to be a million and would never forget was 2017 Olympia was the first time I'd ever been on a plane.
Oh, damn.
Fun fact. When I say it kind of business blew up out of nowhere, I mean out of nowhere. And what it was is it was to go out to Olympia. I wanted to shoot in general, and I had a few clients, but not enough that I was going to take it. Until Andre Ferguson wanted me to be out there.
That'd be a good client to take, probably.
Andre was actually at the Arnold 2016, was the first ever big name that I wasn't already a personal friend with to put money into my pocket. Arnold 2017, my apologies. The year before he won. And he was the first person to ever book me that wasn't a personal friend, that was a big name. Mm-hmm. And I told him straight up, I was like, dude, I didn't know who you were when you booked me. I just saw you had 190,000 followers. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Why is he talking about that? And we just linked up. And growing up in a much more northern atmosphere, being around him, we just intermeshed immediately. He's from Brooklyn. and he's still very, I mean, he is New York to the core. And so, you know, he contacted me again to have me out at Olympia. So we went out there. So after the show and whatnot, he wanted to have a photo shoot in the room, so kind of some lifestyle stuff. And I go up there, and it's me, him, George Brown, and Raymond Edmonds, and another photographer by the name of G-Soul, a South Korean fella. And we go up to the room, and it's Las Vegas, so it's legal. I don't want to hear it. we all smoke weed before we're getting ready for our photo shoot. Well, then we go down to the pool to shoot, and they raise hell about us being out there and taking photos. And Dre is never the calm one. But for once, Dre was the calm one telling us to chill out because we weren't having it. And the only reason we weren't having it is because they had some other people that were, you know, quote unquote, very out of shape, taking photos. And they didn't care about that. But because, you know, these giant jack dudes were stripping down for a photo shoot.
Right.
That was
it. Right.
Hashtag fit shaming.
Yeah.
So that was the issue. And so for once, I never imagined I'd ever see Andre, the calm one, but he was the dad of the group for that moment. but no, I honestly, it's always funny. The best things that ever happen outside of the show with these competitors are just the random things, honestly. Like, it's, you know, it's the little things. It's like recently, my buddy Chris Bumstead, he started a relationship with former Olympian Courtney King. And it's just like the little things, like when you've seen, you know, your friends not happy, and then to see them light up around someone the first time you've seen them together, it's just like little things like that, or getting to go out to eat with them and whatnot, or, you know, I think, as far as, you know, keeping it in tow with my style of things being more emotional, you know, probably the best one was the fact that I was the only person at the Tampa show for Melissa. Chris and Ian were still in Canada prepping for Olympia, and she understood that. So I was the only one at the show waiting for her to get off stage, and just, you know, the tears involved with that and the hugs and, you know, just the general general excitement of the whole atmosphere is just, you know, it's hard to beat. And it's those little moments. It's hard, almost hard to explain to someone who's not part of that or who wasn't there.
Yeah. That's super cool.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many good stories. I mean, going out to eat sushi with Dallas when he was around.
How much sushi could he put down on a refeed day?
We went to a place called Miyako's in Lexington, Kentucky, after the Kentucky Open in August 2016. And he put down 20... He ordered 26 rolls. He put down 25.
What the hell?
That's awesome.
The funniest shit about it was the lady came to our table, and the one was left on his tray, and she said, "Oh, too many." And he said, "I just didn't like that one." And then after that, we went. I don't know if you all are familiar with Insomnia Cookie.
Oh yeah.
We went to Insomnia Cookie, and he had a double scoop of ice cream in between two chocolate chip giant cookies. And it was just, yeah. So, I mean, his bill alone was, you know, $400.
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely got my sushi eating ability from him.
That's awesome.
But yeah, you know, it's the little things like that, like memories that people don't get. And, you know, memories that people will never get again. Mm-hmm. You know, getting to see him outside of the light of being like, holy shit, dude, you're my favorite bodybuilder. But to actually know him personally, it's just one of those things. It's not necessarily a single story. It's just that in general, getting to do that, especially coming from someone who considers themselves just a coffee shop bum that happens to take half decent pictures. It was just very different getting to do something like that. And it was just... Yeah, honestly, still to this day, my entire career is just the big story for me. You know, it's incredible. It still feels very surreal that I get to do what I do and love what I do. And that people pay me for it. It's just like, dude, I love doing this. Like, if I didn't have to pay bills, I would do this for free.
Yep.
It's absolutely. Just like, it's the coolest thing to me.
That's how you know you're doing the right thing.
Something to be said about being your own boss and doing what you love, man. It's fucking incredible.
I mean, there are definitely stresses involved, but it's just like I said, you know, seeing my friends succeed, or seeing a client, you know, cry when they see a photo of themselves that they didn't see themselves in that light in the mirror. That just makes it, you know, worth it. I mean, it's there's a lot of stresses, but it's, you know, the sleepless nights on the weekends when I'm working are just, they're worth it tenfold.
Yeah. Hey, so we got a question from a mutual friend, Caitlin Arvanis.
Yeah.
She asked why you don't show your face on social media very often.
Well, that actually started because I wasn't welcomed by promoters. I was never offered, which I still to this day have never received a press pass for any show. That's so, what.
Do you have to sneak equipment in and shit?
To some shows. The main one I ever did it into, and I'm fine saying it, was, you know, they don't know what I look like to come after me, was USA's. That was by far the hardest one. And I'll explain how, but that was definitely the hardest one. That was harder to get my cameras through than it was for me to get a knife through TSA.
Holy shit. Wow.
And I didn't get the knife intentionally through TSA. I would like to point that out, FBI listening.
Yeah. Just lucky. You know.
But, I've never had a press pass to shoot at anything that I've done. So for the longest time, before Mr. Mannion co-signed me, I wasn't welcome. So, and since I have an extreme, you all have met me, I have a very distinct face.
Yep.
Like, you meet me once and you know who I am.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm getting all my hair cut off, so that's nice.
You'll hide in a little bit then if you cut your hair off.
But, I mean, I still wear bandanas and torn up jeans and combat boots. Like, I am, yeah.
You definitely have kind of the artist look to you. You
know? Yeah.
You look different.
So, my brother's a decade older than me. I grew up on 90s Seattle rock.
Oh yeah,
nice. And
growing up singing, like, Chris Cornell is God to me.
So you're just a grungy bastard, huh?
Yes. I nice. Like my black denim, and I like my combat boots, and I like my flannels and my beanies.
Perfect.
I like it. We're attracted to different like that too, you know. We just like different in general. Yeah. So
misfits.
Yep.
But no, I was never welcome, so it started with just that. I just kept my face hidden, because it made my job a lot easier. And then as I got, you know, more and more further, I don't still have to hide it, but I choose to, because in my, what I'm doing, I don't need to be the showcase anymore. My work is bigger than I am. So I don't need to be shown. I'm not here to showcase myself. I'm not an 18-year-old looking or a girl that's trying to sell fit tea. I'm not here to take.
You're not trying to get a band sponsorship or anything.
Yeah, and waist training. Yeah. You know, I'm not here to showcase myself. I'm not here to get certain types of comments. I'm here to show off the people I get to work with, and I'm here to show off just how much fucking work the people I work with put in, not me. You know, and in reality, you know, I'm on social media physically more than I, you know, usually am, but in reality, the best thing anyone ever sees of me is a shitty front facing video screenshot.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm just not the showcase, you know. You're not going to go to an Andy Warhol museum and take a picture of yourself. You're taking a picture of the art.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No, I'm not there. I've always explained it. It's like a wedding photographer that only takes selfies.
Right.
I'm showcasing the wedding, not me.
Yep.
So, you know, why am I going to do that? Especially when I've got so many just stunning people I get to work with, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally, you know, I get to work with the most beautiful people in the world. And it's, it's a fucking honor. And I'm here to showcase them more than myself.
That's so cool. I think, I think we were talking to the Arvanises. Shout out to Caitlin and Zach again. But I think they told us, you know, this anonymity that you have. You ran into someone, like physically ran into someone at a show. They were unkind to you when you wouldn't get out of the way or something, and you were going to shoot with them later.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. That's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
But they had no clue who you were.
Honestly, that's another reason. I really just I like the, you know, not because it's the cool thing. I just enjoy having the mystery around what, like, who I am. You know, the fact that
mystery.
I can just Hardy Boys books. I can sit in a crowd and put my headphones in and no one will bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And even my friends, like, I know I went to the Indy Pro last year to work, and Chris Bumstead and Matt Jansen are genuinely two of my greatest friends in the world. And we literally made eye contact and didn't speak. Like, we're all just that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
We're not rude. We're just introverts. Like, I'm not built to be famous. Chris is not. Chris is one of the shyest people I've ever met, and genuinely shy.
Mm-hmm.
Not shy because it's cute, like genuinely uncomfortably shy. So it's just, I'm not built to be known. I'm very open about my struggles and my demons and whatnot. So I'm just better operating anonymously. And it's just kind of, it also lets me see what people actually think about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I run face to face with so many of my clients that have no clue who I am. They'll just come off stage and I'll just be like, man, great package up there. And that's it. Like, and they'll thank me and then they'll go on their way and have no clue I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy that because it gives me the chance, you know, to see what people think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always said you'll never know what people actually think about you until you're invisible.
Definitely.
Very so true.
It's very different, and it's very nice, and I notice it's very different in the industry.
Oh, for sure. It's all what can you do for me?
Right. Absolutely. Staying anonymous is really cool as a photographer, I think, too, because like you said, it's about your clients, yeah, who you're shooting, and not to name names because people are going to know exactly who I'm talking about, but there's a handful of photographers I can think of that are always putting themselves in front of the camera and, you know, like, look at me. But
I'm not, you know, I work with the best physiques in the world. Why am I going to showcase my shitty amateur physique? you know, and it's just kind of one of those things. I grew up doing a lot of spray paint art, and I grew up on a guy, and I recommend you all and anyone that's a fan of art to look him up. Alec, A-L-E-C, Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is he's a billionaire from Beverly Hills that is a world famous spray paint artist, and he's never shown his face because he's not allowed to, because they could arrest him at that point.
Right.
I know what he looks like. So my thing was, all it started as just never wanting to be seen. And then I saw him and I was like, oh shit, someone else does it for a reason. but yeah, it's just, I just genuinely enjoy, the anonymity of it. And, you know, when people don't know that much about you, they don't feel comfortable reaching out to you like, hey man, like, you know, pulling the friend card or buddy or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's easier for me to keep my friend circle very small.
You can't knock your physique too much either. I see you growing.
I finally decided to stop bullshitting around. it was in mid October. Funny enough, and I'm sorry, this is a bit of off tangent here, but I think this is this really explains how I got started. Flex Lewis Classic 2016 in October. I drove down from Lexington, Kentucky to Nashville. The show was at Opryland that year. Matt Jansen was competing with Jordan. And they didn't know who I was. And Matt did not remember what he had done for me, talking me through a prep in LAC 2 years before. I just wanted to give him a thank you. So I drove down. And at this point, I've never been booked. I'm not making any money off of this. And I quit my job 2 weeks before. So I drove down to Nashville at Opryland and slept in my car for 3 days so I could shoot Matt and Jordan as a thank you for what they had done for me. And that is how I met them, how I met Dallas, and essentially how it kind of parlayed into everything else, meeting them. And that I mean, that's, I suppose I should have laid that one out there. That's really essentially what got my career started, not my photography. But that's what actually got my career in this started. From that day out, Matt really started to just, you know, I always hate the phrase, but ride or die for me, you know, and really put me out there to the world. And when I did that, this is where it ties back into that. And when I did that, he came off stage and we had never like formally met outside of, hey, I'm Matt Jansen. I'm Will Whitman. I'm in prep right now. Would you mind helping me out? Just give me a few details or a few tips. And he got like actually angry at me because I wouldn't give him any of my details to pay me. And I like, dude, I didn't do this for money. I did this to thank you. You don't remember what you did, but I appreciate it. And so he refused. Hey, I refused payment for probably a solid hour. And I said, look, dude, all I want is a picture with you, Jordan, Michaela, and Dallas. That's it. And I've still got that picture on my phone. It's the one picture I'll never delete. And he said, okay, well, if you're going to be like that, do you still compete? And I said, no. He said, well, if you ever decide you want to compete again or get back into it, let me know and I will coach you for free. And I said, all right, I appreciate it. I don't think I'll ever do it again, but I appreciate it. So then another year went by and we had stayed in touch and he asked me again, you know, hey man, you thinking about bodybuilding again? And I was like, no, buddy, you know, now I'm building my business. I'm trying to do this. I was just, I said no the first time cause I was in a really bad place mentally and I didn't have the energy to go back into the sport. The second time I was building my business and I was more concerned with, you know, not getting put out on the street, more than, you know, having a good side chest. And, then he contacted me about a year later, which was October this in 2018. And he said, hey buddy. And this was, you know, after flying to Vegas to work with him at USA's and working with Zach out in the desert. And, he said, hey buddy, you ready to, start thinking about bodybuilding? And finally, I guess he had just beat me down. And if you ever, have y'all ever met Matt?
We've met Matt Jordan, yeah. A
couple times, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like he talks to you, and it's just like he's so, like, stoic. He's like Jesus. It's weird. he's like a dad to me in a weird way. Like, I joked with Stacy. I felt so uncomfortable. I had known him personally for 2.5 years before I ever felt comfortable asking a single question about gear. And it came up very, like, ass backwards, passively. And we were talking about, like, hair. And I was like, well, I mean, you haven't lost any of yours. and I just kind of started inching side effects in there. And I was like, well, what do you think about this? and it just kind of evolved from there. And but that's really so about October, I decided, you know, I'm going to stop bullshitting. I'm at the point in my business where I make enough money working 12 to 16 shows a year that I can still take December, January, and February off completely and genuinely give my year into bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if those 2-3 days out of that week that I'm on the road, I don't, you know, I'm not completely on, those other days I can be on and make sure I'm getting everything I need. And actually looking like I know what the fuck I'm talking about when I tell someone supinate your wrist for this curl so it brings out your lateral delt. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, yeah, it was more me wanting to look the part, again. And I just was really unhappy with the way I was looking. I got up to my biggest out of shape and I was just like, dude, this is dog shit. Like I got to change something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think like the third day I ate chicken and rice for my meals, I felt great. Like it was like rebirth. And I was just like, this is awesome.
Heck yeah. Sounds like destiny, man. Taking chances, going down, shooting for free, meeting the Jansens and Dallas.
It's real shit.
Now here we are. And now you're working with Matt too. So
It's a real weird, like I said, very surreal. I get asked a lot about it, you know, like, what's it feel like? I'm like, dude, it doesn't feel like anything. Like, I mean, for lack of sounding like I'm fucking given a movie preview at the theater, like, it feels like I've been out of body for the past, you know, 2.5 years with what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I literally live, you know, essentially a dream life. I get to go to a coffee shop 6 days a week with my girlfriend and sit and drink coffee for fucking 8 hours. Like, what?
That sounds great.
Yeah. I take the entire holiday winter off work. I don't have to leave my house outside of going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fucking incredible to me.
We're very happy for you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
That's so cool. Well, we do have some listener questions.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them. Well, the first one is, do you have any advice for other photographers?
Be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. There you go. Don't, you know, like I said, in 11 months, I've grown almost 19,000 followers, and it's because I didn't give a fuck about not having followers. I didn't give a shit that people didn't buy into my vision yet. I knew if I gave that up to become popular, I would lose myself in exchange for followers, which you can lose. And if you lose yourself, you lose everything as far as I'm concerned. I kept my vision. I believed in it. I didn't give a shit if anyone else believed in it or not. And it's just, you've got to be willing to sit there and deal with the dog shit that comes with it. You know, like I said, I was working a corporate job for LA Fitness. Sorry if that's a legal thing, LA, if you're listening. And I was working 120 hour work weeks, and I was fucking miserable.
Yeah.
I quit that on the drop of a dime. I pulled in the parking lot on my motorcycle, took my helmet off, just looked in the front door. Our front desk person waved to me. I waved back, put my helmet on, and went home.
Now that sounds like badass. A movie right there. The guy pulls up on a motorcycle with his flowing bro locks, takes his helmet off, gazes at front desk worker.
I literally just left on the drop of a dime. No money, no nothing. I was lucky enough. The girl I was with at the time really supported that decision, and understood, like, hey, which at that point in our relationship, we were more friends than anything. So she understood, like, what was going to happen because of that. And, you know, I lived broke as shit for about 8 months, to really push my dream. And, you know, the biggest thing I can tell people, be honest. That's the only reason I was willing to, you know, I am where I am, because I put up with the dog shit sandwich that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was honest. And the biggest thing I can give anyone as far as building their business, regardless of what it is, like, if you're a gym advertising, if you're a clothing company advertising, if you're a photographer trying to get business, if you are someone trying to get sponsorship, fucking give me a megaphone. Content, content, content. I don't know if you notice, I post literally at least once every day,
mm-hmm.
every single day, and learn your dynamic, learn the busiest times. I know the busiest times for me to post. I go through the analytics. I'm big on stats.
Mm-hmm.
I know everything down to the average likes on my page right now. I average 608.4 likes each post.
Mm-hmm.
I'm huge on analytics. Yep. Learn the details, and if you genuinely want to be a photographer, be okay being lonely. Mm-hmm. Hotel life fucking sucks. You sit alone in a hotel room, lonely as shit a lot of times, and people say, you know, you're surrounded by people. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you all understand this, being married. Think about when you have to travel away from the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be, I know you used to do mic work with, was it Maximum?
With HD Physiques and NPC News. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you used to do that. And think about, like, having to go away to shows and shit like that alone. It's like, yeah, you're surrounded by all these people that really like you. But it's just like, yeah, but you're not.
Right.
This isn't the same thing. So, no, I mean, I think if I could give three tips, it's yeah, be honest with yourself and understand there's going to be a shit sandwich that comes with it. People aren't going to buy into your vision if it's different for a long time until you buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
Content. Fuck everyone that wants to unfollow you because you post every day. I don't give a shit. I lose almost 120 followers a day, but I gain 200 followers a day.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up that yesterday, my stats.
The stats don't lie.
No.
That's for sure.
I love that, though. Be honest with yourself, because we talk about this, you know, and that's why our podcast is our personalities, and that's how our social media is too, because you can only be inauthentic for so long,
right?
Until who you are comes out. Yeah. So you might as well just be who the fuck you are.
Yep.
Yeah, and you'll do shitty work if you're not being yourself.
Yeah,
because you can't imitate other people better than they can. That's why it's never, you know, I get a lot of people, it's funny, my girlfriend is about as supportive as any human can be, and she gets furious when we watch other photographers blatantly try to copy my styling.
Yeah.
And I just always, you know, my grandfather, he's an old Italian dude from Pittsburgh, and he always told me, don't worry about other people. If people can't ride your wave, they're crashing in the surf. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I've never been worried about people trying to copy my style because they can't do it as good as I can. And that's not arrogance. That's just, it's not actually their vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's my vision. And mm-hmm. they're just trying to copy that. So it's not, you know, the best they'll ever be is a ripoff Will Whitman.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that actually, that segues into another listener question. What is your vision? What's your 5-year plan?
Again, kind of, you know, I'm glad you asked about being open earlier. As far as my 5-year plan, I'm very open about the fact that I have a very severe battle with depression and suicide. And quite frankly, I don't see 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm real honest about it, you know, ideally I would love to. Ideally in 5 years, I would like, you know, and this is no knock on him, he's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met, but in 5 years, I would like for someone to tell me that they completely forgot about who Per Bernal was when they found me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar, Per Bernal is the goat of what I do.
Oh yeah. Most people listening to this network probably do.
Pretty much any muscle and fitness cover. You know, Per's really the only guy, I shouldn't say that, because Ryan Loco in the end is my idol as far as photography goes. But yeah, I mean, if I'm really, you know, painfully open and honest, I don't see 5 years from now, just because I know what I go through. But ideally, yeah, you know, I already have that mindset that I think a lot of people take the wrong way, but I think is 100% necessary to take in what I do, in the fact that I'm the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally I would like for, you know, perfect world in 5 years, that's unanimously accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, oh, are you working with Will Whitman? No, I couldn't afford him. No, I don't want that. No, you know, I already work with limited slots. You know, I would like, 5 years from now, man, I would really just like to be remembered as someone who was very different.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's very open about things, and someone who was very, made people think about this sport differently. I genuinely love bodybuilding with every cell in my body, head to toe. And I would really like to be seen as the guy that changed the way it was viewed visually. And felt through images. You know, I think one of the most iconic images of all time is that Arnold Conker one, the famous one.
Yeah.
It's like, but not the famous one from the front, from the back when you see the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one's awesome.
It's always stuck out to me because it's just like you can feel triumph when you look at that. It's like if you genuinely love bodybuilding.
Fuck yeah. It makes me, I got goosebumps.
I do too. I got them right now.
You get chills. And yeah, I mean, ideal, perfect world, I would just like to be remembered as the guy that really made some people think differently about bodybuilding, and made people realize what my end goal always was, of making people realize these are humans, not machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so ideally that's a 5-year plan.
That's good. That's fucking deep, man.
You're doing it.
Yep. That's fucking deep. Thanks for sharing that.
No, absolutely. That's like I said, I'm very open book, and I know sometimes, you know, that's one of the few personal things I open about, and because I know it helps people.
Definitely, especially in our industry, you know, it's
Yeah.
no secret that a lot of people struggle.
Yeah. And growing up, you know, especially from and I mean no knock on I mean no knock on females, but growing up as a male, we're raised with a very, you know, and I hate that it's the it term right now, so I'm not saying it in the way that Gillette does, but toxic masculine.
Yeah.
Raised in the fact that you can't feel shit.
Right.
So growing up, you know, and I can recognize I'm still my biggest enemy. I internalize everything. Stress levels, holy dog shit. I have to go to the hospital and get stress tests done. Because I internalize absolutely everything. It drives my girlfriend up the wall and down the other. But yeah, so as a guy, especially in this industry, we're already viewed as these extremely masculine. Like you look at the big giant fucking dude and it's just like that's a like man. And then, you know, you add on top of the fact that he is a guy, so he's raised that way. You know, luckily, I, you know, not luckily. I think my generation's the last ones being raised that way. But, you know, we were raised in a very, you know, keep your mouth shut, provide. If you feel something, stuff it down. You know, I like my, you know, for the longest time, I was comfortable talking about emotion as a Brillo sweater. You know, so no, I'm very proudly open about it because I know it helps at least one person out there.
Day by day. Oh, fuck.
So one more question about advice. From your perspective, you know, being at all these shows, what advice do you have for bodybuilders just in general?
Or bodybuilders coming to do a photo shoot. You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Okay, I'll divide that up into two parts. As far as a bodybuilder, like going to a show to compete, like what advice I would give them
Oh
to
yeah,
as
like somebody, you know, prepping or getting into bodybuilding.
I know this sounds like an umbrella statement. Don't be a pussy.
Fuck yes, thank you.
Perfect.
Way too many people get into this sport as your mommy and daddy told you you could be great at everything, and you can't. The issue is that we started telling people you could be great at everything instead of telling them it's okay if you're not great at everything.
Fuck, I fucking like you.
I think a lot of, so people grew up with the thinnest skin. Like I grew up the way I am. I don't, dude, people bash my shit all the time and my opinions all the time. I could give a fuck because I grew up with a dad that was just that ilk of a guy. Like he just raised you like you may not like how I am to you, but you're not gonna grow up and be a little bitch. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. That would be my biggest advice is just don't be a pussy getting into this because it's 100% subjective. You know, people are going to look at you and, okay, well, guess what? If two women are on stage and you have the exact same physique as the next person, guess what? Whichever one's prettier facially is going to win. Period. Deal with it. You weren't given that gene if that other person wins. That's okay. And be realistic, man. Everyone is raised like if you're in bodybuilding, you're going to be Mr. Olympia. No, you're fucking not.
You're
Like,
probably,
no,
most
you're
people
not.
aren't going to win their local show.
People that are going to be Mr. Olympia know it at fucking 14 when they are jacked without lifting weights. People don't realize like Dallas was huge before bodybuilding. Yeah, like his whole life, he was a giant person.
He's a giant.
Like just a monster. And you look at him in college and the dude was like 305 natural.
Fuck.
Like that's a big fucking person.
Monster.
So it's just kind of like, all right. So it's just look at those pictures of Dorian when he was a kid. Or Lee Priest.
Yeah, Lee
Yeah, they
Priest
just
stands
got
out to
it.
me.
Like genuine upper level, or like even guys like you know, my favorite.
Hello?
asked.
Sorry,
hold on.
We're losing you a little bit.
You're cutting out for a second.
He talks all the time about how he would work, train for six. He would train for 6 months and then take 6 months off.
Right.
And still was a high level Olympian. It's like, you got to understand who you are and where you're from. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to know your lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too many people get into this sport believing their mommy saying, oh my God, you look good. Well, guess what? Steve Weinberger's eye matters more than your mom's.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, your mom's not the head judge.
Yeah. Go tell Sandy Williamson your mom likes your physique.
Right.
Sandy Williamson could give two fucks about your mother, and she's one of the nicest ladies.
Right? Absolutely. I like that. So, don't be a pussy, everybody.
People... stop listening to your friends. Listen to the people that are indifferent about you talk about your physique, and that's how you know where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know,
it's just one of those things. That would be the number one advice as far as getting ready to compete is don't be a pussy. Don't go into this expecting to be Ronnie Coleman, because you're not going to be. You know, be realistic with yourself. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm going to be an NBA player. I am a 5'9" Native American, not a 6'5" black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, it is what it is. I get like a solid 3 credit cards under my feet when I jump. I can't dunk. I'm not athletic.
I bet you could kill the fuck out of a woolly mammoth, though.
Yeah. I could throw an 85-mile-an-hour fastball. The end. Like, that was my athletic ability. And it's just, you know, it's just, as far as the show, you know, stop being a bitch. Stop crying when you get a bad placing. And if you're already at the show, I've seen this recently. If you're listening, you probably know who it is. If you don't like your placing at prejudging and it's all your fault, don't be a dickhead and show up the finals without a tan, messy hair, and looking like you just went out and ate a fucking buffet.
Whoa.
Like, show up like a professional. Like, that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. That's disrespecting everyone that supported you. That's disrespecting the people that put that shit on, and they're going to remember it. And that's disrespecting every fucking part of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like where you placed, sack up, come back better next time. You know, it's just, yeah, people are too soft.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to that. Yep. So
no participation ribbons in bodybuilding.
Yeah. Like, being there to win and only to win. Don't be a bitch and ruin the experience for the rest of the people. Yeah. Don't be backstage talking shit. And for the love of God, last thing I'll give on this question, do not, after a show, post a side-by-side with the person that placed above you.
Definitely don't do that.
That is exactly why I stopped working with anyone that approaches me in a way that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I already am selective. I already work with only about 1 out of 10 people that contact me.
Mm-hmm.
The quickest way is for me to go through your page. And if I did this to a handful of my clients. If you ever use my photos to post a side-by-side with someone that placed ahead of you, I will not only report that photo and get it taken down for copyright, I will have your page taken down.
Yeah.
Do not fuck around with my work, because I don't co-sign that. Right. That's why I don't shoot comparison photos. I only shoot individuals. Because
mm-hmm.
I won't stand by that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, don't be a pussy leading up to the show. Don't listen to your mommy and daddy that you look great because you have a six-pack. Guess who else does? Every douchey frat boy on the beach.
Yeah.
And, yeah, don't be a sore loser, man. Mm-hmm. Sack up and come back better the next time.
Definitely. Well, great advice, man. We in closing here, plug your social media for us. Where can everybody find you?
Yes, I only operate on Instagram. I am w_whitmanphoto. That's WITTMANN, not like the candy. If you hunt down Will Whitman or just type in Will WITT, I'm the only thing that comes up. As far as booking, everything is done through direct messaging. I apologize if I don't get to you. I get between 90 and 100 messages a day. I have countless unanswered ones. I don't mean it. I apologize if I miss you. The easiest way to get a hold of me is comment on my post, letting me know you messaged me. Mm-hmm. Politely. Not say, hey, dickhead, I messaged you.
Yeah. Or else you will not be chosen.
Yeah. Would be very surprised. So yeah, just, if you've messaged me a handful of times, and you, I don't follow you, it comes through as a request, which I have 99 plus of. So please, if you genuinely want to work with me and your first question is not going to be how much do you charge, please comment, let me know. And be realistic. I work with a very certain caliber of physique. If this is your first show, I respect your drive, but you are probably not going to be selected. It is nothing personal, just my vision.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, shoot, as a trainer, I pick my clients, and it's not like everybody gets in, so that's,
right.
That's respectful, and it's exclusive. So you work with the best, and that's what people can expect to get out of you, you know?
Yes, so, good physiques are easy to come by. Good energy is rare.
Right, yeah, definitely. Well, Will, thank you so much for coming on today.
No, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
And we will see you next week at the Arnold, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Awesome. Feel
free to come up to me.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We will. We look forward to it.
I know we're all going to be busy. I'll be competing. Haley will be doing some mic work again, and you'll be doing shoots and stuff, but maybe we can go grab a coffee at a coffee shop or something.
Well, that's, I'm already setting something up with Caitlin and Zach, so we'll all get together.
Oh, perfect.
All right, well, thank you, Will. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye. See ya.